So Ian, 25 years of Riviera Life Church, it's amazing. Why don't you just give us an overview of the last 25 years?
Well John, that's a great question. And the 25 years have just gone like that. Yeah. They've gone so quickly. And we have so much to be grateful for. My only regret this morning is that Jackie's not sat here with me. But as you're aware, and as our congregation are aware, we had to put a number of our staff on furlough, and Jackie was one of those. So Jackie's unable to be here, and really she should be here.
Absolutely.
Celebrating as well. But 25 years ago, when we came into this building, when we were given the building, yeah. that was an amazing answer to prayer. You know, the building was given to us with a debt connected to it, and we were so grateful about that. And God performed an amazing miracle even in that setting, because in our very first weekend, the debt was completely cleared. So we actually came into this building debt-free, but it was a little bit of a derelict building. Yeah. It really was. And I recall our first Sunday with hardly any heating. In fact, there was no heating. Heating was packed up. That there was rain pouring in the ceiling, and there were a scattered congregation around the room, all wearing their outdoor coats and their yeah. scarves and their mittens and their gloves. And it was absolutely amazing. And I recall just sitting here on the front row with Jackie, and at that time Pete Gavano was yeah. our associate pastor here, and just saying, we're home. And that's what it's been for the last 25 years. This has been home. I think I've spent more time here than I have in my own home sometimes, detriment to my own kind of family. But God's so good. So it's been an amazing 25 years, John, and we're excited about what God's going to do over the next 25 years, wonderful. Whatever shape or size that will be.
Brilliant. Hey, that's brilliant, Ian. That's wonderful to hear. What I want to do before we move on to question number two is, I think on behalf of Riviera Life Church, I want to thank you and Jackie for 25 years. Of incredible leadership.
Bless you.
I know it's had its ups and its downs. We've had moments of celebration. We've had moments of heartache along the journey. But on behalf of the congregation, and we really truly mean this, we want to say thank you. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your pastoral support. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your belief. In all of us as well. It means so much. And I know in our Zoom meeting following this broadcast that we want to show our gratitude just a tiny bit more in that. So if you can tune into our Zoom meeting, that would be brilliant.
Does that mean I've got to Zoom in?
You've got to Zoom in as well. Yeah. But let's chat some more, shall we? Over the last 25 years, what are some of the key principles that you've learnt during the course of this time?
There are principles and key things that Jackie and I have learnt over the course of time, which are very personal to us on our own personal journey. But it's very difficult to separate the personal journey from, in a sense, that sense of calling upon your life. What has kept us here and what continues to keep us here is the call of God to this place. Mm. And the call of God to this community. So we don't just feel called to Riviera Life Church, we feel called to the Bay, to Tor
yeah.
Bay.
Yeah.
And just recently, my prayer has completely changed, because my prayer is not so much about, will you quicken us, will you awaken us, will you revive us as a church? But my prayer has gone broader than that, and it's become, will you awaken, will you quicken, will you revive our community?
Come on. Yeah.
So it's gone a lot further there. One of the key things that Jackie and I have kind of learned over the course of the time is to celebrate every day.
Yeah.
Celebrate every day, and to end every day with a celebration. And the beauty of that is, John, that sometimes we've celebrated because they've been great days.
Yeah.
Absolutely phenomenal days, and we've seen God do some miraculous things. We've had some great success stories, but there are other times we celebrate just because the day's over. So we celebrate every day, because they've been good, or we celebrate just because they're over. And we've had some of those as well. Ebbs and flows of local church. People have come, people have gone, and those that you've helped the most seem to be the ones that have left or whatever. But that's key. Celebrate every day. And I would say that one of the things which is really important as a local church leader and as a follower of Christ is that word obedience.
Yeah.
Just be obedient, have an ear that's open to hear what God has to say, and do it, yeah. No matter how daft it may appear, how daft, how silly, whatever criticism one may gather along the way, just be obedient to that. So they're just some of the key things. And I think the biggest one out of all this as well, and I'll let you ask the next question, the biggest one, I think, is enjoy the journey.
Enjoy the journey.
Enjoy the journey, and have some fun, have some laughter, and don't take yourself so seriously, but take God seriously.
Yeah. Wonderful, absolutely wonderful, just nuggets of truth there. Thank you, Ian. Now, over the last couple of weeks, we have been studying heroes of the faith, crazy faith in crazy times. And as we keep on saying, we're certainly living in crazy times. Last week, Paul Gibbs spoke on Enoch.
Yes, he did.
And the week before, I was doing Abel. And the week before that, you opened up on faith. Today, we're going to have a little chat about Noah. And Noah's story, and how does Noah's story kind of mirror what has happened in the life of Riviera Life Church from 1995 through to 2020? Big question there.
The life of Noah is, once again, it's really fascinating, and you can run parallels to what we've done here at local church and what Noah did. Because we all know that the story extremely well, that Noah built an ark.
Yeah.
And I love the way that the Message translation puts it. It says this, that Noah built a ship.
Yes.
In the middle of nowhere. And I just kind of looked at that whole story and began to think it through a little bit. Because we're building something.
Yeah.
And some would say that we're building something called church in the middle of nowhere. And they would make excuses. They would kind of say you can't build a church, a significant church on the coast because of the demographics of community. You know, there's so much distractions. You know, people would prefer to go to the beach than they would come to church on a Sunday. And I must admit, over the course of 25 years, John, there's been a few times I prefer to go to the beach as well on a Sunday instead of coming to church. But we've been here and we've turned up. And what I love about the story of Noah is that he was obedient.
Yeah.
He was a man who was set apart for his generation. That whole generation that he was brought up in, he was living in, dwelling in, was an unrighteous generation. Mm. They were evil. They were wicked. Yet Noah was a righteous man, and that accredited him favor with God.
Yeah.
And I think, as we begin to explore, I've got some notes here to explore into in a moment as well. I think when we begin to look at the life of Noah and how he was determined to build something for God, that's what we've done and what we will endeavor to do over the course of time, to build something for God that will have an impact and not just rescue ones or twos, but will rescue multitudes, hundreds, thousands. Let's dream big. God can do something really good.
Incredible, incredible. Let's I tell you what, let's just carry on this theme and Ian, just take us a bit deeper into Noah and just share something from your heart for us all regarding
Brilliant. Well, I hope you're sitting comfortable, church, and I would like to think that you have got your Bibles and you have got a form of notepad, whether it's a paper pad like mine or whether it's a mobile phone like John's. But it does say in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. John, you may as well sit back and put your feet up, mate. All right. But it does say in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith Noah built a ship in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of dry land. And then it begins to say that he was warned about things that he hadn't seen, and he acted on what he was told. And there are some key principles there which will help us begin to run the parallels. Okay? And John, when I get the theology incorrect, I want you to jump in and correct me if you would please. But to begin to pick up on the story of Noah, we've got to really go back to the first book in the Bible. And that's the book of Genesis, where we begin to see Noah mentioned. And the very first time he was mentioned was in Genesis chapter 5, and we see how it's the introduction, it's the birth line, it's that a lot of begatting going on. You know, this person begat this person, and this one begat this one, and he had sons and daughters of, and we see that Noah was the son of Lamech. And what we see then, at the age of 500, Noah starts to have his own children and begins to create this line, this generational line, which is absolutely amazing. But what we see in the context of the generation that Noah lived in, he was living in an evil generation. Wickedness was kind of rife, it really was. And it was a perverse generation. And that word perverse simply means to live not in accordance with what is right. And maybe we can scan our congregation, not our congregation, maybe we can scan our generation, and we can see a parallel there, that we're not necessarily living in the best times. Maybe there's a perverse generation, maybe there's wickedness there, and we see. But what we see here, and this fascinated me in my study, that generation number one, when God spoke into creation and created Adam and Eve, at the end of that creation story, it says this, and what he saw was very good.
Yeah.
Generation one. But what I see also, 10 generations later, what God had created for good had turned bad, had turned sour. And what I see there, I see, and it's recorded around the generation of Noah, it says this, and the Lord regretted what he had created. And as I read that, my heart just kind of broke, that the very thing, the creation that God created that was going to be wholesome, it was going to be good, 10 generations later it became evil. And it had become so kind of wicked and horrible looking that God himself looked at it and regretted what he had done. And I began to think, some of the things that God has birthed inside of me, done inside of us as a local church, does he still look at those things, and does it still please him, or does he regret some of the things he's birthed inside of me, inside of you, and inside of our generation? It made me think, it really did. But in the mix of all of that wickedness, we see that Noah, he stands head and shoulders above them all.
Yeah.
And it says that the favor of the Lord was upon him, and God granted him favor, because what God saw in Noah was completely different. And,
yes.
And that's what we've got to keep working at. When God, our Heavenly Father, looks at us, he needs to see something different. It needs to stand out of the crowd. It needs to be head and shoulders, not from an egotistic kind of stance or platform, but a righteous platform, that there is something different about us. But what I see in the life of Noah, and this is for you, for me, and for all of our family and our friends, is that God asked Noah to do something he'd never done before. And required him to step outside of his comfort zone and to step into what I can only describe as the cause zone. Okay? And you know what it's like as a leader, as a minister. I know what it's like also, that when God asks you to do something, he's always stretching your comfort zone. And he's always wanting you to step out of the comfort zone and step into the cause zone, because I would sooner live for the cause than I would live for the comfort.
Yes.
And if any of us want to accomplish and achieve anything for God, we cannot remain in our comfort zone. And I don't care how uncomfortable you now feel, that's reality, it really is. Because what we see in the life of Noah was, he was a farmer.
Yeah.
He came from farming stock. That was his comfort zone. And he had never built a ship in his life. All right? He wasn't a seafarer. He wasn't living on the coast. He didn't necessarily know what a ship looked like. He knew what a sheep looked like, but he didn't know what a ship looked like. But God says, I'm going to shift you from comfort, and I'm going to ask you to do something that you've never done before. And I believe that 25 years ago, when Jackie and I were helping assist the pastoring of our painting church, Living Waters Church, I believe that God asked us to step out of our comfort zone. And to leave the comfort of a well-established church where things were going really, really well. And I believe that God asked us to step outside of our comfort zone and to step into the cause zone. And it wasn't easy. It was challenging. We've always been up for an adventure, but it was still challenging because we'd never done it before. We'd always served under another senior minister. And if you want to fulfill a dream or a vision inside of you, the best way to fulfill your own personal dream is to serve somebody else's dream.
Yes,
it really is. So what God asked us to do 25 years ago was to begin to build a ship here in the town of Torquay that would be attractional, would be missional, and it would be generational. We'll talk about that in a few moments as well. But it required us to shift, and I believe that over the course of the next 25 years, I'm not reflecting now, I'm projecting, I believe that what God is going to do amongst us over the next 25 years is going to blow our minds apart. Yeah. It really is, because God's not finished with us yet. And as long as Jackie and I are privileged to be in that senior leadership role, we'll champion the cause. But when the time comes for us to shift to become that assistant or that associate role, we'll still champion and encourage, because we believe in this community and believe here. So I want to challenge you, challenge me, that it's not about our comfort, but no, it's always about the cause. And what I see also, John, in this is I see that Noah was an individual of obedience.
Yeah.
And my Bible tells me this, that obedience is better than sacrifice. And obedience is really important, because Noah didn't build the boat or the ship according to his own plans and his own will. But he built the ship, built the boat, and according to the blueprint that God gave him. And if he hadn't followed those details, that blueprint, to the final detail, I believe that ship would have sunk. But it didn't sink because he was obedient. And obedience is really key, because the Lord said to Noah, "This is how I want you to build it." And Noah, credited to him, it says, and he did everything that the Lord required of him or asked of him. And I'd like to think that the majority of them, I wish I could hand on heart say the whole of the time, but I'm in church and I can't lie and I can't exaggerate. I'd like to think that the majority of the time when God has asked us to do something, we've done it according to his plan. There have been times when we have diverted and we've done it our own way, but we've had to backtrack on so many occasions and we've had to kind of realign ourselves. And obedience is key.
Yes.
And for a successful church, for a successful ministry, forget church, forget ministry, for us a successful life, yes, obedience is key. It really is. It's right, understanding what God is saying,
yeah,
and doing it. So that's really important. But what I also see in the life of Noah, and you've asked me about the parallels, the comparisons, and I've got 56 points to come, all right? But I see that what Noah did was he built the ship for the generations.
Yes.
So it was for his generation, but it was also for his children and for their spouses. And I think what's really important when it comes to church, we're not just building church or Riviera Life Church for one generation. It's not for the Silver Rinse Brigade, and it's not for the Middle Age Brigade, and it's not just for youth or for children, but church is generational. And what we see is that Noah built the ark for the generations, and his family were impacted by what he built.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that I've got a great wife, I've got four amazing children, I've got amazing grandkids, and I'm so grateful,
yeah, come on,
that as we've built the church, let me rephrase that, as we've had the privilege of serving God and building the church, I've seen my family built.
Yes.
So as we've beautiful, built something to save people, my family have been saved in it all as well. And one of the privileges of leading this great local church is for the family to be part of that.
Yes.
It really is. And that really excites me. And I want to prophesy to those who are listening to this today, whose sons and daughters are not in a place where you want them to be. I prophesy it's only a matter of time. And as you commit to building the house and establishing God's kingdom in this community, I promise you through the word of God and through the prophetic word this morning that your family will also serve.
Come on.
And where your family aren't sitting in the context of local church currently, they will. Yeah. It's just a matter of time.
Wonderful.
And what I see there, John, is that God's a God of generations.
Yes.
He loves the granddads. He loves the mums and the dads. He loves the grandmas. he loves the mums and the dads, and he loves the children. And every time I read in Scripture, I see that God made covenant with an individual, but also made covenant with the generations that were to follow. And there's a lovely word, which it's not my type of word. I read it somewhere. It's simply described as this, the perpetual generation. And I began to think about that. Firstly, I needed to work out what that word meant. So I Googled it, went to the dictionary, and when it talks about a perpetual generation, so God blesses me as a dad, but the generations to come, it's never ending, that blessing, that covenant. It talks about a seamless transition, and it talks about being uninterrupted. But what really blessed me about that word perpetual, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right, there are things called perpetual plants. Mm. And a perpetual plant is a plant that blooms and bears fruits several times in one season. And that really excited me. That we as church, 25 years ago, planted from Paignton to here with a handful of folk who have been so faithful over the course of time, we have experienced the perpetual blessing of God upon everything we've said and everything we've done. And we've seen blossom, we've seen blooming, we've seen bearing fruit, not just one-off, but multiple times, season after season after season. And we've also seen multiple fruit-bearing seasons within the season.
Wonderful.
And what we've experienced over the last 25 years, once again, prophesy down the camera, that we'll see that in the seasons, the years, the decades to come. Yeah. Because God is as faithful and as true to his word now and then as he was all that time back. I also see a God who is a generational God, because it says, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Yeah. That's all flesh. And he also says this, he says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy.
Yeah.
And once again, it blesses me when I see my own sons and my own daughters operating and flowing in the gifting that God's given to them. It blesses me when I see your boys doing what they're doing. And we only talked about it just a few days ago, John, when we saw Jack leading us in worship, and he was talking about the lion and the lamb. How old is he?
Four
years old, singing. Yeah. And Sarah, in one of our Zoom prayer meetings, she said this. She says, Jack was prophesying over us.
Yes.
And he was. So sons and daughters will prophesy. Oh. And I'm getting older. I'm 25 years older than I was when we planted the church. All right? So time doesn't stand still for anybody. But it does say this, that even the old men would dream dreams.
Come on. Absolutely.
And you need to know this, church. There's more dreams inside of me. Yes. And there's more dreams inside the jacket.
Yes.
And I'm not calling her old lady because she's not here. But you need to know that there are dreams inside of us. The likes of yourself and Jordan, you're the ones who have the visions. Mm-hmm. But the likes of Jackie, myself, and others of my age bracket have opportunity to keep on dreaming. And I'm going to keep on dreaming until I'm elsewhere. Whether I go via what I call the uppertaker or the undertaker, I'm going to keep on dreaming. Another thing that I see in the life of Noah. Are we okay for time? Can I keep going? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right. But as I see in the life of Noah, I see that his faith brought him through the storm.
Yes.
And I think we need to understand that in the context of local church, whether we're in leadership or whether we're supporting whatever it is, whatever storms we go through, it's faith that brings you through.
Yeah.
It really is. Faith brings you through the storm. It's You have to have faith to step out to do what God asks you to do. You have to have faith to continue what he's asking you to do. And you have to have faith that what God's asked you to do will be sustainable and will be viable. And Noah's faith also impacted his family. And I'm so grateful today that I'm not just first generation. Yeah. I'm second generation, and my children are third generation. Great godly parents who I believe that I'm reaping,
yes,
from their hard work. And you are from your parents' hard work. And I believe that I'm reaping and I'm benefiting in the stuff that they've sacrificed for. So if I'm celebrating their faith and my children are now celebrating my faith, my children are not just celebrating my faith and living in the perks of my faith, but they're living in the perks of their grandparents' faith as well. So faith brings you through the storm, and faith also brings your family through the storm. And when others are murmuring, moaning about past and present, I don't want to murmur about the past and the present. I want to celebrate what God's got for us in the future, because God's got so much more in store. And once again, I just want to encourage those that are listening in today that if you're in a storm, faith will bring you through.
Yeah.
If any of your family are in a storm, faith will bring them through, because I can stand with you. I can testify. I can share stories of what God's done for us as a couple. And what he's done for us, he'll do for you. What he's done for us as a church, he'll also do. And this is my last point. All right? And then it's time to put the kettle on and have another cup of tea. What I love about the whole story of Noah, is this making sense?
Yeah, definitely.
What I love about the story of Noah is this. It says that after all of that time of building the ark, acquiring all the animals, and that's another little thought which I neglected to bring in. You know, as Noah built the ark, God sent the animals. And what we've seen over the course of the year with different team members, as we've built the ark, as we've built the ship, God has sent the people.
God has sent the people.
He sent the people.
Yeah.
And I love that, like, I really do. But after all of that, and we know that the rain came down and the torrents came up, and we know that the earth was flooded, and we know that the process and the things that Noah had to go through, there's a little phrase here which says this: and God remembered Noah.
Yeah.
And that has been such an encouragement to us, that in times when you think nobody cares, in the times when you think nobody even knows you're here, that little memories come back. God remembers.
God remembers.
God remembers. And I'm encouraged that in 25 years, God's never lost sight of us. His eyes have always been upon us. God has never misplaced us. Never gone looking, asking, where on earth are Ian and Jackie and the kids? Where are they? What did I do with them? You know, I'm the absent-minded one who loses the mobile phone and loses the keys. But God's never done that. He's always remembered us. And it keeps coming back to the verse that called me into ministry and sustains me in it and through it. And it's found in the Gospel of John, where it says, you didn't choose me,
yeah,
but right. I chose you.
Wonderful.
And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, and that fruit would last, and that fruit would remain. And I keep reminding myself of that. In fact, God keeps reminding me of it, because he hasn't forgotten about it either. And 25 years of building local church, God has always remembered us.
Amazing.
And that's really amazing. Exciting. And Noah built the ark by faith. And we as team here have built the church by faith, and will continue to build the church by faith. And that's why I think Noah is a great example to us on our birthday.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you so much, Ian, for your encouragement. Thank you for that word, such a now word. I hope everyone at home is so encouraged this morning by that. He's the God of the promise. He's the God of all generations. He never forgets us. So many valuable lessons there. What we're going to do right now is we're going to pray. We're going to pray, and I think it'd be good that I'm going to pray for Ian and Jackie on behalf of the church right now. And then I'm going to ask Ian, as father of the house, just to pray for us. We thank God for the past. We thank God for the present. But we look forward to the incredible things, as Ian said, that are going to come our way in the future. And we're really excited about that. So wherever you are, whatever you're doing, let's just pray, shall we, right now. And I'll pray first, then I'll hand over to Ian. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, that we can celebrate this time together. I thank you for 25 years of Riviera Life Church.
Thank you, Jesus.
And Lord God, as we are praying right now, I want to thank you for Ian and Jackie, Lord God. I thank you for their leadership. I thank you for their courage. I thank you for their love for you, their love for their house, their love for the family, Lord God. And I thank you for everything you've done them. Lord, would you continue to bless them? Would you continue to bless them as a couple? Would you continue to bless them as a family? Lord, you are the God of all generations.
Yes,
we thank you for the whole Williams generation, Lord God, and we thank you for what you're doing and have done in their lives, Lord God. But Lord, we say, Lord, the best is still yet to come, Lord God, and we thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Continue, as Ian prayed, as Ian said earlier, to give him dreams and visions, Lord God, we pray. Continue to give him courage, I pray. And Jackie also, I ask, in Jesus' wonderful name, bless them abundantly. May they know your peace, may they know your presence, may they know your unfading love as they just carry on leading. In Jesus' wonderful name, we thank you and we praise you. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to pray for us as a church family. In my office at home, I have a kneeling stool, and the kneeling stool was the kneeling stool of a vicar here in Torquay. And when he passed away, they were going to dispose of this kneeling stool, and somebody was going to chop it up for firewood, and I wouldn't allow that to happen. So I've got it at home, and there are the occasions when I really kind of am interceding on behalf of things, and I change my prayer posture. Normally I'm sat at the desk, or sometimes I'm sat in a soft recliner, but other times when I say, no, I need to do some business with God, I go to the kneeling stool and I kneel and I pray. And if you're able this morning, wherever you are, in your homes, I'd invite you to kneel with me, because I believe that God's going to do something for us as we pray. So my old rickety knees going down. John, don't forget social distancing. And we're going to pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity of praying for our family. Yeah. And I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness over the course of 25 years. It's our silver birthday. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that over the course of time you have refined us like silver and you refined us like the gold. And I thank you, Father, for what you have deposited into this house, into the lives of so many. And Father, we make a declaration in this house today. We have built according to your word, and we will continue to build according to your word. And Father, I thank you for every individual that you have brought through the doors of this church, for those that have come and made it their home, and for those that have come, and for those that have gone. And Father, we pray your blessing upon them right now, wherever they are, scattered across this nation and even scattered across the nations of this world. Father, we pray your blessing upon them. I pray, God, that they're about to step into their best days ever. I pray, God, for those that require a touch of health or a resource, finance, whatever it may be, we pray, God, that you would meet their need right now, because you're able to do that. Father, your word is filled with stories where individuals would pray in one place and an answer would take place in another place. So, Father, we pray for answers to begin to manifest themselves right across the nation of this world, the nations of this world, of those that were once part of our family, we pray. But, Father, this morning I pray specifically for those that are part of today's family. Father, I thank you for every household. I thank you for every person. Father, we are so blessed to have quality men, women, boys and girls who call this place home.
Yes.
And Father, I say thank you for them. And Father, wherever they are this morning, Lord, as they may be on bended knee, I pray, God, that you would minister to them, that you would show favor upon them. Lord, that you would open the windows of heaven upon their house And Lord, that you would embarrass them with your blessing and your favor. I pray for an abundance to hit their homes right now, I pray. Lord, let them know what it is to have life in all of its fullness. Let them know what it is, Lord, to have more than enough. I thank you, God, that you are not scrimping around trying to find bits here and bits there for your people. But Lord, you're the God of an abundance. And Father, we pray abundance over our family congregation right now. I pray, God, that they would know what it is to know your personal touch upon their lives at this moment in time, I pray. But Father, I pray for the next generation. I pray, Lord, for those that are not yet calling this place home. Father, we pray them into this place. We pray them into this family. And I thank you, God, that the best days are not behind us. And the best days are not even those that we're even living in now. But the best days are the ones we're about to step into. And Father, we pray that we pray for the release of the prophetic over this house. Every prophecy spoken over this house, we pray, God, it will be fulfilled. And Lord, that we will begin to live it. It won't be just something documented on a piece of paper, Lord, but we will begin to walk in it, talk it, live it, breathe it, I pray. And Lord, that would even have the ability to see beyond the now and to prophesy even bigger and greater things. Father, we commit our time to you and we say thank you for your faithfulness. Jesus. You're a faithful God and we love you so much. Thank you for the opportunity of serving this house for 25 years. And we look forward to serving this house for whatever time you've set aside for us. In your wonderful name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.